This is Karen Lyle of Sailsport Talk with a message from Latitude38.com. U.S. Sailing has just announced that Bay Area sailor Paul Caillard will take the helm of the U.S. sailing team, including the U.S. Olympic sailing program. Caillard has been involved in Olympic sailing throughout his career. He is a two-time Olympian in 1984 and 2004 and earned a silver medal in star class at the pre-Olympic regatta in 2003. Caillard also competed in 2004 Summer Olympic Games in Athens, finishing in fifth place. This is an interview with Paul Caillard. This is a international broadcast that goes out to 168 countries and 82 million people. It's broadcast on the American Forces Network, Stitcher, on TuneIn, on iHeartRadio. I think there's 700 radio stations around the world that carry this. What is it about sailing that you feel merit being put side by side with football, baseball, basketball, tennis, soccer, golf, etc.?
Well, like a lot of sports, we certainly at the professional level, we train just as hard as any other athletes. You know, sailing's been in the Olympics since 1928, so it's one of the oldest sports in the Olympic Games. I've gone to the Olympics twice, and it's really nice to mix with all of the people who have the same dedication, commitment to excellence that the sailors have. You know, San Francisco Bay is one of the epic and iconic places for sailing. And so to have grown up on the Bay was a huge advantage for me in terms of developing my skill set to go and race all over the world as well as all around the world.
You take your life more at risk in many ways because out on the ocean, you've done ocean sailing and also sailing inside the Bay.
Yes.
Tell us about some of the ocean races that you've competed in.
Well, I've raced around the world twice, and I was the first American to win the Whitbread Around the World race in 1998. And that's it's like car racing a little bit. It's a risky occupation. We have had deaths, and we have had boats sink. There's icebergs. There's massive mountainous waves in the Southern Ocean and gales in terms of really strong winds. So, there's a risk in sailing that's probably different than baseball, basketball, and football has some risks of physical injury, obviously. But sailing, you can lose your life in an instant.
And the training is essential.
Of course, the training is essential. There's, you know, different types of training for a race around the world compared to an America's Cup race or an Olympic race. But we are just as committed and dedicated and focused as any other athlete.
This is Karen Lyle of Sailsport Talk.
Watch for sneaker waves when walking the beautiful California coast. See someone struggling in the water? Call 911 and throw them a life ring. Go to seavalley.org for life ring stations near your coast. Thanks, Rotary Club of Walnut Creek. Go to seavalley.org for life ring stations near your coast.
All right, thank you for that. Rick Tittle with you, downtown San Francisco, here on Sports Byline Around the World on American Forces Radio Network. It's time to check in with Karen Lyle, SailsportTalk.com. Karen, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, and I'll be joining you in the studio next week. I cannot wait.
Sounds good. We want to bring in our guest now. Very excited to have Maggie Shea. She is a member of our Olympic sailing team. I say our because we are Americans here. Maggie, welcome to the show. I understand you grew up on Lake Michigan. I'm always been a little bit, as a Californian, kind of like intimidated by the Great Lakes. They seem too big and rough. What was it like on Lake Michigan?
Oh, you should be very intimidated by Lake Michigan. it's surprisingly big. We often get international competitors that come to Chicago and they're like, whoa, thought you could see across. and that makes us laugh because did you look at a map? But Lake Michigan is a fantastic place to grow up sailing. It's got the conditions range. I know Chicago's named the Windy City, but it's actually not for any like geographical breeze reason. And so we do have windy times of the year, but sometimes it can be light and you kind of get a bit of everything. And it was an awesome place to grow up sailing. It's got a great sailing community, and I totally fell in love with the sport there.
Maggie, I was just toasting you with your cousin Janet Adele over at the Golden Gate Yacht Club. And in the junior sailing program you started with the Chicago Yacht Club, you know, what can we expect from the winds in Enoshima Yacht Harbor for the Olympics coming up? Is it going to be 10 to 20 knots on a consistent basis or shifty? What do you expect?
Well, we've made 4 trips to train in Japan and sail right near the Enoshima Yacht Harbor. And every single time we've ended the trip saying, hey, we need to be ready for anything, because actually that body of water can have light airs blowing offshore, flat water, sort of easy sailing. It can be a post-typhoon system with onshore breeze and huge gnarly waves. Certain breeze directions, you can get chops similar to what you guys have in San Francisco. So this venue actually has been pretty challenging to prepare for because we just have to be ready for everything. There's not one condition that we can count on the whole time. So we've trained all over the world trying to get the different kinds of conditions that we've seen there. We've spent a lot of time studying the weather patterns and the current patterns, and you know, we just keep saying, okay, we got to be ready for anything, you know.
And the Olympic Committee a few Olympics ago went with the 49er FX, two-handed skiff type of sailing dinghy. And when you think about you and the other member of your crew, how much of it are two separate jobs and how much of it is just two people doing the same thing at once?
My teammate's name is Stephanie Robel. She's from East Troy, Wisconsin, and Steph and I have been sailing together for about 15 years now, on and off, either with each other on the same boat or against each other as competitors. And we're great friends, and we feel very lucky to compete together. But the division of responsibilities that you're talking about is, something we constantly work on. It's sort of a facet of teamwork that requires a lot of attention, just like communication or attitude or mentality would. You know, division of responsibilities on the boat is very clear. I trim the sails and I manage the speed of the boat, you know, and I transition the shape of the sails based on the wind that's coming and that kind of thing. Steph drives the boat. She's the skipper, we say. And so she makes the tactical decisions. She decides where we go on the race course, you know, and so she'll decide what is the best sort of path to sail to the windward mark and to the leeward mark. We work together on strategy, you know, so there's certain pieces of information that I give her throughout the race that can influence our strategy, but she's our tactician, you know, so she has the final say. Our jobs are really different on board. Mine's much more physically demanding. For example, my heart rate will average 160 during a race and get up to 185, and I'm very physically engaged, and it's hard to do my position, so I focus a lot on strength and power and endurance, whereas Steph's is, she's absolutely fit, stronger than me sometimes, but her job is less physically demanding. However, she needs to be really fit so that her mind stays sharp, you know? So everything we do is a little bit different, but at the end of the day, we're working together. I trim the mainsail and she drives the boat. So there's not one thing that either of us can do that doesn't immediately impact the other person, you know? And so we work on that all the time.
When I was talking to all of the team back when you were all here in the San Francisco Bay Area, I was really impressed by the way that everybody was pulling together, because at that time no one knew who was going to be going to Tokyo. Do you find that your teammates are, you know, outside of you and Steph, are also being very supportive of you during this time?
Yeah, absolutely. The U.S. sailing team is a really close group of athletes, and the sailing community is also just such a great network of people that are, you know, welcoming. We travel all over the world. People welcome us into their homes. That sort of sailor community is very real and live and helps us kind of feel welcomed wherever we go. And then on the athlete side of things, COVID has definitely made it hard to gather. You know, we haven't been able to gather in person nearly as much over the last year. So that's been tough, and I've got to admit I kind of miss my teammates at times. You know, when we're in the same place, it's just not the smart thing to do or right thing to do to go out and party together, or, you know, not that we'd be partying, but even getting together like we normally would to socialize after an event or during an event, we've kind of had to stay physically away, but we definitely stay in touch. I'd say we do a better job staying in touch. And in terms of pooling resources, it's a necessity when we're traveling abroad. you know, to get together and share responsibilities. And it's just much more efficient to pool resources when you can. You know, there have been times that we weren't totally synced up with the other teams, and therefore we had different training schedules. There were a couple years that we didn't necessarily train with the other USFX team. And most of that was because we had a different coach and they had some job, you know, part-time jobs in the picture. And at that point in the campaign, it was pretty critical to continue working on our own individual agendas. But, you know, it's a great part of it when we can all work together. And I think we've made some of my closest friends, and we are a fantastic support network for each other. And I can't imagine campaigning without these athletes by my side.
A couple more questions from Maggie Shea from U.S. Sailing. When Women's 49er FX was introduced in Rio, Brazil won the gold, the home team. Silver went to the Kiwis, and the Danes won the bronze. So with the World Championships last year in Geelong, you and Stephanie were able to break through and medal and get that bronze medal. Is the U.S. still behind a lot of these countries, or with that medal, do you have the momentum? Do you think this is going to be a breakthrough here in Tokyo?
Well, I certainly hope for a breakthrough. And it's an interesting way to put it, because actually over, you know, historically over the course of the last however many decades of Olympic sailing, that Olympic sailing has been in existence, the U.S. still leads in the overall medal count. So in my opinion, we're kind of defending that lead. Even if in the recent years we have underperformed, that's true. We have not brought home as many medals as we would have liked to from London or Rio. And we all admit that completely. We're working hard to rebuild and sort of catch up to where we have been in the past. In terms of breaking through onto the podium, I think that last year's World Championship was the first time Steph and I really put together all the pieces to have a good performance. And that's not to say that, you know, you have a good performance and it doesn't guarantee that your next one's going to be great, or if you have bad performance, your next one's not going to be terrible. You know, we don't like to think about ourselves as only as good as our last result. You know, we really want to work on all the building blocks to deliver a good performance. And having a good result can be an indication that, you know, we're on the right track. And that's how we look at the last Worlds. We said, okay, we're doing some things very well, but we still have to work on a lot of other things. We still made a lot of mistakes throughout that week. So we have been, you know, on the heels of a lot of the teams that campaigned for two quads for a long time. So a lot of the veterans that you saw in Rio, you know, we've been really on their heels for several years, and now we're competing more regularly in the front with them. And so I'm excited to race in Tokyo, but you know, we just focus on all the little building blocks to deliver a performance, not necessarily the end result. I'm not sure if that answered the question. Sorry.
That was great, Maggie. Tell us. Let's talk about the boat that you're going to be sailing at, because you've been doing the same class of boat in different places around the world to train, I'm assuming. Tell us about how this performs. You know, describe to our audience what your boat is all about, because we'll have a lot of people listening who don't know the details, even though you and I do.
This boat is so fun. It is all about speed and performance. It's called a skiff, which basically means it's like a high-performance, lightweight boat. So the boat is 15 feet long. It gets its name 49er from its length, which is 4.9 meters. And then the FX means that the mast, which is the pole that goes up in the air, holds the sails up. The mast is a little bit shorter than the boys will use. So for two females on a 49er FX, we've got a shorter mast and a smaller sail plan. You know, the sails are just smaller because of our smaller body weight and size. And on a 49er, they've got the full-size 49er mast and sails. So the platform's identical to the 49er. The boat itself weighs about 200 pounds. And then the crew weight, so Steph and I combined, we try to be about 300 pounds combined. And so having a heavier crew than the boat itself means that we're going to get pretty cool kinetic performance out of it. It's a very dynamic boat. And basically what I'm trying to say is it goes really fast. It's very unforgiving. And we love it. Some days we'll go out and practice, and if it's really windy or really big waves, our objective for the day will to be just execute some of the most basic maneuvers. And we kind of laugh and say, you know, we're going to the Olympics and we're just trying to like tack and jibe competently. But that's how unforgiving and challenging the boat can be. Certain conditions, we'll joke and say it's a race of attrition. You know, whoever can just keep the boat upright and not capsize will end up in the top 10. Those conditions are rare, but they can be, they can make or break a result in a regatta. If you can't perform in those conditions, then you sail two or three races in a day. And then in the light air, it's a really difficult boat to get going fast. It's like very finicky and unstable, but that's why we love it. It's it demands a lot of physical fitness, and we've had to actually gain weight. Each of Steph and I have each gained about 15 pounds. We'd like to think it's all muscle, but I'm not sure about that. And we find out that like the bigger and stronger we get, the harder we can push the boat, and then actually the harder the boat gets to sail. You know, we said at one point this should be getting easier. I feel so much stronger, but then you can do things faster and you can work harder and get more out of the boat. And so we find ourselves getting even more tired. And we were kind of laughing about that recently.
Well, I would think that there's no sport that needs more courage when I see these pictures of you guys literally, perpendicular to the water with just your feet touching the boat. It's absolutely amazing. We've been speaking with Maggie Shea. Maggie, I know you had to wait a year, so fingers crossed. Best of luck in Tokyo. Thanks for flying the flag for us.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for focusing on sailing. We appreciate it.
All right, then, Karen, I'm back in the saddle again. We'll see you next week in here.
Sounds great. I'm looking forward to it.
All right, I'm Rick Tittle. We'll take a quick break. SailSportsTalk.com for more information and pictures. Come on back.